Okay, Galatians 5. Galatians 5. And 1 Corinthians 15, the last two verses in the chapter. I'll give you a prayer request. I just remembered that something you need to pray for. If you would keep Rick Newton in your prayers. About everybody knows where he's at, down in Danville in the Illinois Correctional Facility. His father passed away yesterday. And so, and obviously he's not going to get out. So that would be very tough. So if you'd keep him and their family in your prayers. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Going with Independence Day. You know, sometimes I follow the theme, sometimes I don't. Galatians 5, verse 1. It says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace, for we through the faith wait for the hope of the righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well, who did hinder you, that you should not obey the truth?" And then drop down to 13. Well, no, let's try, forget it. Let's just keep going. "This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For, brethren, ye had been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And then so forth. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to understand this passage doctrinally, spiritually, and also apply it in all areas of life. Help us realize that we're going to have to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. Help us to be faithful to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tomorrow's Independence Day, and people usually talk about freedom and liberty, and of course, those are good-sounding words. Just the idea of liberty and freedom, those are great words. People will risk riding in a little boat from Cuba to get over to America just because they want freedom. And people will risk their lives in communist countries to try to sneak out in order to get freedom and liberty. Here it says you have liberty in Jesus Christ, and it says you need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Every person and every generation basically has to reestablish or renew the liberties they have. As far as a nation, and every person and every generation has to renew the liberties they have in their spiritual life also. Often the first generation Christian in a family is the ones that strong and stand up for God, and the second generation doesn't have to go through the tough times the first one do, and they're more weak. But you see, they need to renew their liberties. The reason why we have lost so many liberties today is because the generation in front of us did not stand and renew the liberties. And the reason why they lost so many is because the one generation in front of them. And it's a thing you're going to always have. And you'll notice in the passage here that somebody's going to trouble you when you find out that you have liberties. And that's always a rule of thumb in life. Once you get freedom, somebody else can try to take it from you. And you have to stand fast. The example, probably the best way to illustrate that is if you get out of street preaching, if you go to a new area, inevitably, every time you go to a new area, Barney Fife is going to come along and try to tell you you can't have the liberty to do what you're doing. But you need to stand fast. How do you do that? Obnoxiously? Whip out your gun? No, you just stand fast. you have your video camera out, and the first thing they're going to say is, turn it off. But you see, my hearing is not real good. And my on-off switch is kind of rather temperamental. And you never turn it off when they tell you to turn it off. You don't have to. And you record their conversation. You can just drop it down, but leave her turned on so you can get the conversation. You just stand your ground, and you just start asking them questions because, you see, if they're the public servant, you are the master, and you need to behave as such by asking them questions. And if you just stand your ground, you don't have to move forward. That'll be, that'll be a charge of assault. You don't need to move backwards. You just stand your ground. And you just hold the video camera. And quickly they will learn that you have the right to do what you're doing. And now there are times where you could move a backup a little time, move to a little location. You'll give in a little bit in order to win the battle. You can lose the battle in order to win the war. Like when we're out at the adultery bookstore, and one of the first times the cops showed up, we had the megaphone, and we were standing in a certain place, and they said, we just want you to move back. So move back 10 feet. Oh, I can comply with that. Besides, they didn't say anything about the megaphone, and that baby goes right inside that building. And that's what we want. You see, so we can comply a little bit, but you see, the first time street preaching this town, here comes, you know, Barney Fife, pulls up right beside me, and says, do you have a permit to do that? He knows I don't need a permit. I know I don't need a permit. And in fact, I already have the permission. I decided to do it. That's my permission. And the Constitution gives me that right. It doesn't give me that right. It protects that right. I have the right automatically. Now, you see what the average person would have thought. Okay, I have to go. Where do I go get the permit? You go to this office and go to this office and go to this office and you go to this office and go to this office and you find out you didn't have to have it anyway. And he knew I didn't have to have it. And so I just smiled and said, yeah, I do have a permit. It's called the Constitution of the United States. Well, I know I have a right to do that. Blah, blah, blah. That's what I'm doing, free exercise of my religion. And, of course, you know, he just had to leave, and I stood my ground. Now, you have to do that in many areas of life. And because we are so strapped now in this country is because each generation past did not stand fast in their liberties. Now, we're not going to judge them for those things because a lot of times their liberties were stolen secretly or subtly. And it's just that we have a lot of history to look back on, but when you see this slow, subtle thing coming along, you don't pick up on a lot of times. But we're looking back 200 years and we can see what's going on in these things. Now, as far as America goes, as soon as America declared their independence, somebody wanted to take it from us, didn't they? King George and company. Wanted to take our independence, our liberty. Now, that same thing occurs in your spiritual life also. As soon as you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have liberty in Jesus Christ, and somebody's going to try to come and take it from you. And you need to stand fast in the liberty. What do you mean by that? Back in 1 Corinthians 15, the last two verses, verse 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad you're on the winning team? Once you get in Jesus Christ, you are automatically went from the losing team to the winning side. Now, it sure don't look that way. Doesn't look that way now, does it? But we're still on the winning side. And then he says, and therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you two areas you need to really stand fast in regarding to your spiritual life. And the first area is one you need to stand fast in, and that's salvation by grace through faith alone. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 8:36 says, and if the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now that freedom is found in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says that sin came into the world by one man, Adam. And so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So we got that, but yet also because of the judgment came in by one man, Romans 5, verse 18, says that not only judgment came in by one man, but life, righteousness came in by one man, Jesus Christ, the justification of life. And it's a free gift, it says. It's a free gift. And when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ, when you get the new birth, you know the first time you got born, the very first time you were given a free gift of life. And the second time you were born, you got a free gift of life. Only the second one is eternal life. And that eternal life is in heaven in Jesus Christ. You need to stand fast in that. Now in Galatians, let's look a little bit doctrinally at Galatians 5. And what was he talking about, this circumcision, uncircumcision, all that stuff, and this yoke of bondage? Okay, doctrinally, go back to Acts 15, and you'll see the doctrine there. We need to throw in a little doctrine here this morning so we can see what he's talking about. When you read Galatians 5 and you see this circumcision, uncircumcision, circumcision, all that kind of stuff, what are they talking about? Well, remember, the only established religion by God throughout history, the only one that's recognized by God is Judaism throughout history. That is the only legitimate religion throughout history. Now, I know the way people use the word religion today, they refer to Christianity as religion, but technically it's not religion. It's a relationship between you and Jesus Christ. And the only time the Bible uses the word religion, five times religion, two times religious, the only time that is always, in every case, that is directed to Judaism. Every single case. Now, when you come through the book of Acts, you're going to find that these guys are confused about how to get the Holy Ghost. In Acts 2, they got it through baptism. Repent and be baptized, everyone in the name of Jesus Christ. And it says, and ye shall received the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what it says in Acts 2. But that's Jews. In Acts 8, well, they got baptized, but they didn't get the Holy Ghost. They had to get the laying on of hands, Acts 8. In Acts 10, Cornelius got the Holy Ghost by faith alone in Jesus Christ, because according to Galatians 3:14, that's how we get the Holy Ghost, by faith. In Acts 19, here it shows up again. And they ask him, do you got the Holy Ghost? And they said, we never even heard of him. Who's that? And then he says, how are you baptized? He said, by John the Baptist's baptism. He said, well, that's similar, but not the real thing. You need to get the Holy Ghost. And you see, and so they were confused about that coming through Acts. And so they had a business meeting. Acts 15. And as usual, meetings go, when you get people together, there's some disputing going on. You'll see that in verse 2. But they come to the conclusion in verse 7, and when there had been much disputing, see there we go, real nice and sweet harmony, it says, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. That'd be Acts 10, Cornelius. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, them, the Gentiles, even as he did unto us, the Jews. And put no difference between us, the Jews, and them, the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? That's what Galatians 5 is talking about. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Old Testament ceremonial law. And then he says, but we believe that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ we shall be saved, even as they. Now there's where they came up with the conclusion. They figured it out. The Lord did a shift on them. From Judaism into the New Testament, and the book of Acts is like that. The main character beginning is Peter. The main character at the end is Paul. And that's why he had the common saying, you rob Peter to pay Paul. The main character beginning of Acts is Jerusalem or Israel. And the main character by the time you get to the end is Antioch. And it's dealing with the bride of Christ. You can see the shift in there. Okay, so that's the doctrine of Galatians 5. He's talking about, okay, if you're going to try to keep the ceremonial law in order to prove you're saved, you have to keep the whole cotton-picking thing. And you know you can't keep the whole thing. And so that's what he's talking about. Somebody's hindering your walk with Christ. He's trying to steal your salvation. Now, here's a rule of thumb. If you look in Galatians chapter 2, if you have the opportunity to lead somebody to Jesus Christ, or if you look back at the time you got saved, you were excited about your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, and the burden of sin has been lifted, and now you know you're going to heaven, you got eternal life, and that just kind of makes bring a smile on your face. You know that. It's no more guesswork, no more hope, maybe, might, possibility. We might get there. You know it for certain. And you get a little more vocal about these things when you get that joy. And when you get a little vocal about that thing, somebody, a slaveholder, is going to try to pull you back under their system. No new thing under the sun. When America declared her independence, Britain wants to pull us back under her system. Dishonest Abe pulled a military maneuver by saying the Emancipation Proclamation, which had absolutely zippo authority, it was simply an emotional military maneuver trying to get people incited going with the war. And then after he got shot, then the 39th Congress pulled in the 13th Amendment and freed the slave and then re-enslaved him in the 14th Amendment. You see, when you get freedom, somebody wants to get it from you in all areas of life. And as far as your salvation goes, when you get free in Jesus Christ, when you get excited about that, you may get talking to somebody from the Holy Mother Church is going to talk to you. Galatians 2 verse 4, if you got saved out of that background, it says this, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave space by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Usually, if you give an hour to these false brethren, you can figure out that they're liars. Okay, so if you got saved out of Catholicism, you may go to one of your family's members and say, I got saved. I'm going to heaven. And they say, well, you got baptized in the Holy Mother Church when you was a baby. Yeah, I know that, but I am going to heaven. Yeah, but you got to come back to the Holy Mother Church. You're not going to forsake the Holy Mother Church, are you? Salvation outside the church is not proper. We don't believe that. In fact, we don't even know if the beloved popes go to heaven immediately. But this last one, of course, we know that he went to heaven immediately. He bypassed purgatory. And if you get talking to, you don't want to forsake the Holy Mother Church. Yeah, but I got saved. I know for sure I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? Oh, well, I certainly hope so. You mean you don't know you're going to heaven? Keeping all the sacraments? Well, the Holy Mother Church is right about these things. Well, who showed you the stuff in the Bible anyway? Well, somebody down the street showed me that Bible and I read it for myself and it says that you can get eternal life through Jesus Christ. Were they a teacher for the Holy Mother Church? Are they qualified to teach that Bible? Do they have succession back to the beloved Peter, the apostle, the prince? Peter says that we're supposed to read Paul's writings. Oh, we don't. That's just a matter of your interpretation. Yeah, but Pete said back there that the scriptures are not any private interpretation. That means your church can't interpret it, pal. Don't you do what Peter says? Oh, I know when you follow Peter's. When you get mad, that's when you cuss and swear. That's what you do. So the Holy Mother Church, you can figure out they're lying through their eye teeth. Well, maybe you won't cross the, Catholic and something like that. Maybe somebody at work, you got excited, you tell them about your salvation, and somebody comes along and says, how did you get baptized? Did you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? What are you talking about? Well, did you get baptized yet? No, I got saved. Well, you have to get baptized. And you have to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't know anything about that. All I know is I got saved. I know for sure I'm going to heaven when I die. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Aren't you glad about that? Well, you have to get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. What are you talking about, pal? Well, you see, the grace of God is given to you, dispensed to you through the water baptism. Did you get baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Yes, I did. Do you know for certain you're going to heaven? Well, I certainly hope so. You mean you don't know so? Well, no one can know that for certain. Do you mean to tell me you're not certain you're going to heaven when you die? Well, I certainly hope so. You're an idiot, fella. I know for certain I'm going to heaven when I die. Well, are you certain you're going to be able to keep that salvation? All I know is he said eternal life. Last time I checked, that's a long time. You mean to tell me, did you ever keep your salvation since you've been saved? Baptized? Well, certainly I have. You mean to tell me, you're going to tell me that I can lose my salvation, but you can't lose yours? That's exactly what they believe. And the reason why a preacher get behind a pulpit and tell his congregation that they can lose their salvation is because that way he can keep them in the flock. He wants to keep them enslaved. Well, maybe you won't cross one of those crowds. Maybe you'll have somebody knocking your door and have a little watchtower in their hand. And they'll ask you about the name of Jehovah. And they'll say, well, do you know about the name Jehovah? What? Can you speak English to me? Do you know a name about Jehovah? Well, I remember reading it a couple times in the Bible. You need to know God in his real name, Jehovah. You know, it's a funny thing. They don't even pronounce it right. Jesus, pronounced in Mexico, is Jesus. Now, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I would say you don't pronounce it Jehovah in Hebrew. Can you imagine if your name was John and somebody come up and you say, hey, how you doing, Han? And kept mispronouncing your name? My name is John. Okay, Han. John. John. Han. John. And here, they think it's a big deal to call God by Jehovah, and he's in heaven saying, would you stinking idiots at least pronounce it right? And then they're trying to inherit a new earth. Do you have eternal life? Well, let's hope so. They don't know squat. Or maybe a couple of young fellows that come knocking your door with white shirts, you know, and they got a little name badge, says elder, but yet they don't, you know, 20 years old. But call themselves elder. And then, you know, you get talking to them about, you know, are you born again? Oh, yes, we're born again. Have you trusted Jesus Christ, your only hope for heaven? Oh, yes, we've done that. Well, is that it? You just trust in Christ? Oh, no, you got to believe the prophets. And you got to get some special underwear. That's exactly right. And this special underwear has Masonic symbols on it. And, of course, if you really want to get in the higher levels of the celestial city, you can never let go of that special underwear. And if you take a shower, keep your hand outside. If you take a bath, keep your foot out there and put that holy underwear on top of it. You say, they believe that stuff? Exactly, they believe that stuff. I think Mormon, the word Mormon, they're trying to get away from that because that is the name of a pagan god. Mormon. I'd say it's more like moron. But an interesting thing, these four groups, the Catholics, the Water Dogs, the JWs, and the Mormons, all have a common denominator in Acts 2:38. Every one of them. I've talked to all four groups. All four groups will take plan of salvation through Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But every single one of them say you have to get baptized in their building. Every one of them. And that's a common denominator. And another same thing with these guys is not one of them have eternal security or assurance of their salvation. Not one of them. And they're going to try to talk you out of yours. And the Bible says, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast. The salvation is by grace through faith. And of course, you got to watch out these clowns like Franklin Graham cracker, who's going to pick up for Billy and company, where these guys get talking about adding Christ to your life. That isn't salvation. You know, or I'm making a commitment to Jesus Christ. That isn't salvation. Salvation is placing your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ for your only hope for heaven. It's not adding him to your life, because you can be a Buddhist and add another one and then add another one and then add another one, and it'll take you to hell. You know, I talked to a guy down in DeMont, you know, just a week ago, and he said, well, we're all going to the same place, so it really doesn't really matter. That's right. The same place we're all going to, as far as them, is hell. And heaven is only found in Jesus Christ. Now, the second area we need to stand fast in is the growth in grace, or not only salvation by grace, but I guess you could say sanctification by grace. That's what Galatians is basically aiming at. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1, it says, but be strong in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our main sources for growth, the first one is the book you have in your hand, if it's a King James Bible. You'll find that in James 1, verse 25. Hopefully you do have a Bible in your hand. James 1, 25. You go to a firing range, usually bring a gun. James 1, 25, it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. Look at that, law of liberty. This book is a law of liberty. Now, liberty is the right, the ability to live proper and holy. My liberty is I can wave my hands like this all I want. I can wave them like this. You're not going to air out my armpits. That's my liberty. But my liberty stops with my knuckles hitting Mike in the nose. That's where my liberty stops. It stops at his nose. Now, he has liberties that go like this, but his liberties cannot cross into mine as far as punching me in the nose. Liberty is the ability to do right. And here he says the perfect law of liberty. This book, if you want to find liberty in a nation, you find liberty in a nation that is a nation that's based on this book. Freedom in a nation is equal to the faith in that nation. If the faith is impure or corrupt, the freedoms will be impure and corrupt. The reason why we have freedom in our country is because this country began as a Christian nation. At the same time, it had a conspiracy coming right alongside it. Right side by side. And that's what's been going on in this country ever since the beginning of it. The reason why is when you get liberty, someone wants to steal it from you. So the first one is the Holy Scriptures. That's where we get our liberty, the Holy Scriptures. The second one is from the Holy Ghost in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, this phrase you'll find in the Indianapolis Star on the front page. They put that on there. Right under the, it says Indianapolis Star, may have the date in there. And then it will say 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty in a church where the Spirit of the Lord is. What's that mean? That means you have freedom to be who you are as far as the right way to live and everything, but you're not like somebody else. We're all uniquely different, but yet the Lord will use our personalities to meet his work. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 17. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed in the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's our liberty. Our liberty is, the liberty we have here is, I believe what this book says, and you read it for yourself. You got a book. You've got the Spirit of God. You read it, and I don't have to come along and say, well, I'm the teacher of that book. You're supposed to get that from me. No, you got a Bible, you got the Spirit of God, you read it, you find out what he wants you to do. That's the liberty we have. Thank God we don't have to go to Rome to find out the answers. And the third area is the church itself, Acts 20, verse 28. Feed the church of God. Now, obviously, a Bible-believing church, that's where you're going to get fed the most, and I'm a type of person where you don't have to believe a word I say unless you see it in the Bible. And even if you see in a Bible, and if you want you to say, well, I don't think the Lord wants me to follow that thing,
That's between you and God. I don't have some standard sheet that you have to follow and live like me. You know, if you want to be part of our co-op, fine. If you don't want to be part of our food co-op, fine. I don't care. It's freedom, liberty. My friendship isn't based on our food co-op. If your friendship is based on some organization, you got a pretty shallow friendship. If your friendship is based on Boy Scouts, you get a pretty shallow friendship. If your friendship is based on 4-H, you get a pretty shallow friendship. We'll just park on a little something here. As far as what Christ died for is the church. Jesus Christ died for the church. He didn't die for any other organization. Now, they may be good or bad. They may have some good or bad things in there. But your friendship should be based on Jesus Christ in this book. Amen and amen on that one. Acts 20, verse 28. It says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." Now, I don't say a whole lot about church faithfulness. I don't say a whole lot about that because I'm under the assumption if a person loves God, he'll be here. If they don't, between them and God. I'm of the thinking that I'm not going to be chasing everybody down if they find out why they're not in church. I believe in liberty. And I believe God to get a man right. And God to put pressure on a man. But you can't tell me that you're a good Christian when you're outside of the church when you can be here. These doors are open. When these doors are open, and if you are sitting at home watching the telly, you ain't right with God that night. You're not. You mean the telly is more important than this book? Now, I understand. If you get home from work, you know, at 10 till 7, don't got time on a Thursday. I understand all that stuff. You know, but the thing is we got to get in this book. When you take a vacation, are you in church? Are you finding a Bible-believing church to go to? I tell you, one of the best times to find out what you got is when you travel, try to find a Bible-believing church. And when you find one that totes the King James Bible, go to it and you'll find out, huh? Most of them don't tote it. They tote it, but they don't believe it. A lot of them. But you see, the church is what Jesus Christ died for. And that's the institution that the Lord is part of. The church, the bride of Christ. That's where our growth in grace, a lot of it's going to be coming from. Somebody's going to take that from you. Slaveholders, control freaks. I don't understand a control freak. I don't understand that mindset, but I know that's in the flesh. The flesh wants to control the spirit. I understand that. And we have slave hunters all over the place. Now, as far as governments go, if you look at the slave hunters and governments, that's what the Bible calls a conspiracy. Do you realize in May 1st, 1776, there was a conspiracy formed? May 1st, 1776. We had our independence declared July 4th, 1776, right there. This one, from that day, has always been trying to control this one. This one has all sorts of branches now where it's got multitude conspiracies. Not just one, multitude. Now, does that mean I'm going to panic about stuff? No, the Lord's in control. In fact, the sooner we get the new world order in, the better, because that means we're going to be out of here. But I am to resist until then. I am to protest. Isaiah, Jeremiah 11, verse 9. Jeremiah protested against the conspiracy. Now, we know that conspiracy at the top is usually going to be international banking cartel. The love of money is the root of all evil. And that's a banking structure, international bank. That's a whole banking structure in America today. And we understand these things, but thank God we don't have to go crazy about them. You know, and as far as agriculture, I don't understand how farmers can deal with agriculture if they don't have a Bible. This past week, soybeans dropped $1.25. How would you like to go to work if you get paid $7 an hour and you walk in that day and they say, "Oh, today you get paid $5.75. Just like that.
just because they thought it was going to rain in Chicago.
That controls the price. How does a farmer deal with that? So only one way to deal with that is get in your Bible and find out the insanity involved. It's the only way to deal with it. And you've got to realize that God is in control of these things. And all these other crowds trying to control everything in this country. And they're doing a good job of it. The other area, you know, outside of that, you know, we've mentioned enough about that, is your sinful lifestyles. Lifestyles where somebody is trying to get you young people to pull into their lifestyle or into their sin. Back in the 60s, they called it free love. Free love. Martin Luther King walked around wanting to give liberty, civil rights to people. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, it says, while they promise liberty, they are servants of corruption. Martin Luther King was a pervert. He was a slave to his passions. He was bound by his sin. And if he died according to his verbal testimony, he died and went to hell. If he died according to his verbal testimony. But there's other sins as far as drugs and booze. Somebody's going to try to offer you a pill or some drug. And they're not going to tell you, here, I want you to take this because I want you to become enslaved to me. Is that okay? They don't do it that way. They say, you need to express yourself. Have some freedom. Put aside your morals that your parents have given you. Put that stuff aside. Have some liberty. And then die a dope head. You see, pornography and fornication, free love, and die in with AIDS. See, that's what they're doing. They're trying to promise liberty. Witchcraft is full and running over now with Harry Potter and company making it look real innocent. And if a person doesn't understand spiritual warfare, they can enslave people they want. And the thing is, we need to understand these things. We need to know what we're supposed to do. Look, if you would, in Ephesians chapter 6. The greatest control freaks, the greatest ones that's going to try to steal your liberty, the thing is, you can't even see them. And you need to stand. You need to stand against this stuff. Ephesians 6, verse 11. Notice what it says. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are all beings that you cannot see. It is not flesh and blood. 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Notice the idea of standing and standing and standing. Hold your ground. Just stand your ground. And this is against unseen spirits. And we need to understand this. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. You see, what the devil does is, if he lost your soul because you got saved, he wants to ruin your life. And the lives that he goes after more than anybody are the lives of kids that grow up in a church like this, where they have a Bible-believing preaching going on, and they have believing standards and convictions. Kids in a Methodist church, they're not attacked much by these unseen forces because they're already where he wants them. He's going to put undue pressure on children that grew up in churches like this. Spiritual forces. 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. And it says this, and the spirit of the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The idea here is, the devil has snares all over the place, and a kid will get his foot in that trap, and he may or may not leave. He may or may not surround that kid. If the kid's caught in a trap, he just, okay, that was there. He ain't going anywhere.
Another one's in trap. Oh, he ain't going anywhere. Another one is trap, and he sees this one fiddling with the trap, trying to go like this, trying to get that trap off. And then he gets another little imp around him, another little imp around him, another little imp around him. And then they get that guy and they destroy that guy, take him totally captive. You see, if they're not messing with the trap, he don't have to bother with them. He's got them where he wants them. The thing is what the devil does, if he can't, he lost your soul, he wants to ruin your life. That's what he wants to do. He wants to ruin your life. And what a parent must do, parents especially, you need to pray for your kids. You need to cover them with the shed blood of Christ. And what a person, what you're praying for here is you want to pray for that that child eventually renounces that sin. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 2. We've renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Renounce that sin. Secondly, rebuke that spirit. Mark chapter 3. Rebuke it and bind it in the name of Jesus Christ. Fourthly, you need to take back that stronghold. You need to get that, take that back, put Jesus Christ right where he's supposed to be. Why? Because the devil can take up territory. He gets a stronghold in a certain area. Why do you think a Manitou Springs has one of the largest Satanist church in America? In fact, the largest Satanist church in America is Manitou Springs. Why is that? It's because in years past, the Manitou was prayed to by the Native Indians. They prayed to this pagan god called Manitou, and spirits started congregating there, and now you got a place where the devil congregates his spirits, and now you got the Satanists in there, and if you live in that town, you could sense them. You drive through Trinidad, Colorado, and it's about like heebie-jeebies just crawl over you. You drive through that town, Trinidad. We drove through Trinidad, and I just, there's something weird about this town. You know what's weird about that town? That town is a sex change capital of the world. 3 sex changes a week. A Catholic priest and a nun help them as they make the change over psychologically. Man, that's devilish. And Manitou Springs... KK lived in Manitou Springs for a year. She lived in this house they called the castle. And the landlord asked them when they got ready to move in, "Are you one of them Satanists?" "Nah, we're not one of them things. But there's something going on in that house." Why? Because the devil can take up residence in a place. He's trespassing. And if you dedicate your children to Jesus Christ, you know, we don't believe in infant baptism, but the thing to do is after your child's born is dedicate that child to Jesus Christ. And that means that that child is Jesus Christ. And when they get saved, he is fully Jesus Christ. And any devil is trespassing is trespassing on improper property. But yet, if that child allows them voluntarily to trespass, you got to renounce the hidden sins. You got to rebuke that spirit. You got to recover that stronghold. And you got to pray that God renews that spirit. Psalm 51 verse 10, David said, after David opened up that door of adultery and murder, he confessed that sin, and then he prayed, "Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me." And you see, you have to understand the spiritual warfare, and the closer we get to the rapture, the harder it's going to become. But thank God we got the promises of this book. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. That's why I say you got to stand fast in the faith. You got to stand fast in your salvation by grace through faith. And you've got to stand fast also in your growth in grace through faith. Those are two areas you and I have to just stand our ground on and stand against the wiles of the devil. And be faithful to that until the day we die or until the rapture. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do pray that you'd help us to understand these things. Help us to understand the big picture. The big picture is that Satan wants to destroy every saved believer. Everyone. He lost their soul, but he wants to ruin their life. And Lord, as parents of children, I pray that we would pray for our children and cover them with the shed blood of Christ and be faithful to you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be standing our ground, standing in a simple salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And then also standing that we have liberty in Jesus Christ to do right, that we are also sanctified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. The faith we live is not our faith, it's a faith of Jesus Christ. And help us to stay in the power of His might, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. In the name of Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ, that's where the power is, and the Word of God. Help us to be faithful to that. With heads bowed and eyes are closed, the piano plays, the altar's open.